Let us gather into our time of worship as we hear the prelude this morning. We welcome all of you this morning to the house of the Lord. We're grateful to see all of you here this morning, taking this time to worship our Lord. In your bulletins, you'll see a few announcements. I'm just going to make a few announcements, and then we have some other announcements to make. This week, you can see under refrigerator news the activities for the week. I want to highlight our Bible study right now. We are looking at studying Genesis chapters 8 and 9. So Monday, tomorrow, we're going to be looking at Genesis 8 and 9, Noah's deliverance and God's covenant. And then there's was given my attention that Lent is coming up here on Ash Wednesday. February 26th is the first day of Lent. And the Lent devotionals are here in the church. If you want to go in the back of the gathering place, you have your Lent devotionals there. And this time, we have a couple announcements. We have an announcement this morning about this one insert about Sunday school. And Melissa will give us an announcement on that.
So if you look at your red insert, it just lists all the different Sunday school classes that we have. As Christian education, we want to really promote Sunday school. We think it's a great thing. It's a great thing you come in and meet with a smaller group of people and really dig into God's Word. So there's a whole list of all the different classes we have. If you're not plugged in, please join us in Sunday school at 9 o'clock. One thing is about the young adults class. It's listed as young adults, but feel free if you're not a young adult to come join us also. So great to see you. Hope to see you at 9 o'clock.
Now we have an announcement about Bible school.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Christine Blackwell and I are the co-directors for Vacation Bible School this year. And in your bulletins, you'll see a little insert that's like this. It says, All Aboard for Fun at VBS. So it says, Save the Date, July 19th through the 23rd. So if you have any kids, grandkids, neighbors, friends, just feel free to pass this on so they can save the date and come. Our goal this year is to have around 50 kids, so we ask you to be in prayer for that, this awesome outreach that we have, and be in prayer for Christine and I also as we start to prepare for Vacation Bible School. And if you have any questions or already know that you would like to somehow volunteer or take part, just let me or Christine know also. Thank you.
Do we have any other announcements? Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment and stand and greet one another, share the love of Jesus Christ to those around you, and then we'll go ahead and sing our opening hymn. So greet one another this morning. What a grand opening that is. Let's sing Trust and Obey.
Everyone sing out. Everybody knows this song.
Thank you.
Join me in the responsive call to worship. Our call to worship this morning is taken from the Apostle Paul. He gives us instructions about how we are to live our lives. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Let us pray in unison the invocational prayer. God, be in my head and in my understanding. God, be in my eyes and in my looking. God, be in my mouth and in my speaking. God, be in my heart and in my thinking. God, be at my end, at my departing. Amen. You may be seated. The children's choir will be singing this morning. We'll be singing two songs, Whole Lot of Change and I Will Not Be Afraid.
I will not be afraid.
Thank you very much, children, for that. As we prepare to give our offerings, listen to these words from the Apostle Paul about how we are to give ourselves to the Lord. Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of being here in worship this morning. And now, Lord, we bless this time of our offering, giving our offerings to you. We pray, Lord, that you bless these offerings which we lay before you and use for your ministry here. We pray that we would always know what it's like to give a sacrifice to you by giving ourselves to you in the church. We thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This time the children can go to Children's Church. And our offertory hymn is "Jesus Calls Us." And the ushers can come forward as we give our morning offering. As we come to our morning prayer, I ask that you take out our insert about the prayer list this morning. A number of names there we need to remember in prayer. There's a couple names that I want to add on the prayer list this morning. We need to add Joan Mauser. Joan Mauser to the prayer list. She's undergoing chemo treatment for leukemia. So keep Joan Mauser and her husband, John Mauser, in prayer. Also, we're pleased to have George and Ruth Heller's son here this morning. I just found out that George had a fall, and he's in a neck and back brace. So pleased to see family here this morning helping George and Ruth out, but George is probably going to be laid up for a little bit, so we need to keep George in prayer this morning. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, it's always good to have a time of unity when we pray, and I ask that we pray the Lord's Prayer this morning as we conclude our morning prayer. Let's come to our God in prayer. Let's pray. Open up our hearts and minds right now, Lord Jesus, to your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you come into our hearts and minds right now as we enter this time of prayer and meditation. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we know the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This time, Lord, we take a moment of silence to make our personal confessions to you, Lord. And God, as we confess our trespasses before you, we know what the Bible says, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we thank you that it is through the blood of Jesus that we are made clean, that we are made whole. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, which brings us to God. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray this morning, Lord, for anyone on our hearts and minds who is not saved, does not know anything about salvation, Lord, that you would have them, Lord, come to a knowledge of their own sin and need of a Savior. We pray that we as your people, we as a church, would have the heart and boldness, Lord, to share who Jesus is in our lives and needs to be in the world. Lord, as we come this morning, we know in the front of the bulletin it talks about the light, how we all need to be lights for Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that in order for us to be shiner lights of Jesus Christ, that Christ needs to be in our hearts and minds and lives. Because, Lord, there's only one true light, and that is the light of Jesus Christ, which the world needs. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we're very much aware of our nation, our world, Lord, which is in turmoil right now, Lord. We wonder sometimes, Lord, what you're thinking when you look down at the world, but we know, Lord, that you have made a better way for us to live as Christians, and that is through Jesus Christ and through his example. We pray that we as your people would be lights and examples to those around us who need to know a better way to live. We thank you for the church and for the ministry that we have here. We pray, Lord, that we as a church would be a light to the community around us, to reach those who are in need, to reach through our words and through our example. Lord, this morning as we come to this time of prayer, we're very much aware that there are many people who need you right now, who need a helping hand. We pray for each one on this prayer concern list, Lord, that needs prayer right now. We lift them to you. We think of Joan Mauser right now, who is undergoing chemo treatment. We pray, Lord, that you would give her hope and strength throughout this time. We know that Joan knows you as Lord and Savior, so grateful for that, but this is a very difficult time physically for her and John. We pray that you would comfort them and give them peace and wholeness. We also lift up George, Brother George Heller this morning, who had a fall and is injured, Lord. We pray that you would grant him, Lord, healing that can only be brought, Lord, in your name. We lift up other people, Lord, within our fellowship that need a helping hand, that need encouragement. We pray that we as your people, Lord, if we happen to see people in the church, Lord, who haven't been here, Lord, that we would give them that friendly invitation to come. We pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we prepare to look into your word. And Lord, as we conclude this prayer, we pray, Lord, the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Before I read the scripture text, I just want to say a little bit about what I've been speaking about the past couple weeks. Last week, I spoke about the need for salvation and how everyone that we know needs to hear and know the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to see an equally important need, and that is the need to live the life of Christ out as people in the church. And my goal is that we as people of the church will not only be able to share the message of salvation like I mentioned last Sunday, but that we would also live our message out, how important it is for us as people in the church to live the message of the Lord Jesus in word and deed, all for the purpose of leading people to Jesus Christ. So turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture text this morning. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus' exact words from the Sermon on the Mount. It's part of the Beatitudes that we're looking at. And I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. May God add a blessing of the reading of his word. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. We thank you for your great holy word, which brings us to an understanding of who you are. May this time glorify Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. I have a statement on your insert this morning, which I want us to look at and think about. And that is, have you ever wondered why you are here? What's the purpose of our existence? What does my life as a Christian mean? What is my purpose as a Christian living in the world? I remember asking that question way back when I was a child. I was about 8 years old. I used to go through these times when I would think about these deep questions, and this one question always came to my mind as a child. I always wanted to know why I was here. And so I asked my mother one time, I said, why am I here? What's Why do I exist, in other words? She answered me, you are here to do good. You see, my mother believed that in order to be a Christian, you need to live like one and not just talk like one. For example, she took an interest in cooking and preparing meals. And so she believed that to have that interest, she needed to live that gift out by inviting people over to her house with a gift of hospitality as part of her ministry. She also had the gift of music. She played the gift of music. She had the gift of music by playing the organ. And she believed that in order to live that out, she needed to serve the church by playing the organ. And she ended up playing the organ in the church for about 30 years where I grew up. In today's lesson, Jesus tells us specifically, as Christians, how we are to live our lives. Look at Matthew 5, verse 16, perhaps one of the central verses of today's text. Matthew 5, 16, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The main point Jesus tells us is that we as Christians need to be salt and light. In other words, salt and light are things that are useful. Salt has to be useful in order for it to be flavorful. Light has to be useful in order to be shining. In other words, Jesus says, be useful for our Lord while you're here. Now, one point I saw in this text is what Jesus didn't say. Now think about this. Jesus didn't say, one day you're going to be salt and light. He said, you are salt and light. Jesus didn't say, one day you're going to be working your way to become salt and light. You're going to be this great and good person for the Lord. You're going to be used. No. Jesus says, you are salt and light. You are salt and light. This is why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, that if you have the light of Jesus Christ within you, you're not going to be hidden. You're not going to be hidden from other people. Why do you think Jesus says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden? Listen to these words from William Barclay, who is a biblical commentator, about what this means. Barclay says, our Christianity should not be visible only within the church. Our Christianity should be visible in the way we treat a shop assistant across the counter, in the way we order a meal in a restaurant, in the way we treat our employees or serve our employer, in the way we play a game or drive or park a motor car, in the daily language we use, in the daily literature we read. A Christian should be just as much Christian in the factory, the workshop, the shipyard, the mine, the schoolroom, the surgery, the kitchen, the golf course, the playing field, as he is in church. Jesus did not say, you are the light of the church. He said, you are the light of the world. And in our lives, our Christianity should be evident to all. If you have the light of Christ living inside of you, you will be effective. You will show that light of Jesus Christ. You will be an example to others. Now, you might be saying, well, it all sounds good, but when I look at my life, you might be thinking, I don't really see the light of Christ shining. You know, other people are not seeing Christ in my example. Well, let's look a minute at why might our lights not shine for Christ. That's when you have to take a good look at yourself and ask, have I accepted the light of Jesus Christ in my life? Why am I not bearing fruit for the Lord? Let's look at that. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, Jesus here gives a great illustration of what light and darkness means. John 3, verse 19, let's look at that first. Jesus says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So this is talking about dark places. This is why you see so many bars and adult bookstores with no lights and windows. People in there don't want to be seen. There's no flashing lights like you see at McDonald's advertising a business. At these places, there's only darkness, not much light at all. Why? People in these places don't want their lives to be exposed to the light and truth of Jesus. Therefore, they like darkness. Look what it says in verse 20 of John 3. That's what he says here. Jesus says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So the people living in darkness have this fear about getting caught. They don't want to be caught. They don't want to be found. They don't want their life to be exposed. And so they stay away from the light of Jesus Christ. Now the good news is that these people who are living in darkness can change their lives. Jesus gives them that opportunity because light transforms and changes darkness. The light of Jesus Christ changes lives. Look what it says, verse 21 of John 3. "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." The light of Jesus Christ transforms darkness. That's good news. But it means that everyone, you and I, must come to the light of Jesus Christ voluntarily, not under pressure. No one should come to the light of Jesus Christ because, you know, their friends do it and I have to do it. It's an individual choice that you need to make. If you have never come to Jesus Christ, I urge you to come to him today. Look at Matthew, back to the main text, Matthew 5, 14 to 15. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 15. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." This leads me to ask the question, are you hiding the light of Jesus Christ within you? Are you hiding the light of Jesus Christ within you? All of us have what I call a certain comfort zone that we don't want to break out of. But I'm finding out that when you break out of your comfort zone, that's when others will see Jesus in our example. Jesus says, if you're a Christian, don't isolate yourself. Don't hide the light of Christ. Don't hide the light of Christ within you. Earlier in the message, I talked about my mother, and she had her own comfort zone too. And one time, she was called in for jury duty. How many ever served on jury duty? She didn't like to do that. And the main thing why she didn't like to is that she had to go to Norristown, Montgomery County, close to where I grew up. She had to go into the big city. And that got her out of her comfort zone. But when you think about it, what an opportunity to shine for Christ. Because think about it, doesn't Jesus need to be in our courthouses? Isn't that where Jesus needs to be made known of all places in a court of law? Talk about people who need Jesus. or think about how important it is to be in places where people are in need. Homeless shelters, our sharing cupboard, rescue missions. These are places where your light needs to shine. Missions, service. People see what you're doing for Christ. Why is it important to see Christ in our example? Jesus says, because many people need to see a better way. A better way than how they are raised. A better way than what they're seeing right now. Look at what Jesus says here in Matthew 5, 17 to 20. Here, Matthew 5, 17 to 20 calls Christ the fulfillment of the law. This is really basically sums up as saying Jesus knows a better way. It says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. One commentator says this, that this was the most astonishing statement Jesus ever made, where Jesus says, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Why is that astonishing? Because for the religious authorities, the law and the prophets were sacred. You can't touch them. But Jesus says, in order to live the Christian life, it's not all about rules and laws. Jesus says, I know a better way to live. I know a better way to witness to other people who need me. In Jesus' day, the people of God were known to be the scribes and the Pharisees. Who were they? Well, the scribes were the ones who were dedicated to study the scriptures. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's what they did with it. They became known as the experts of the law. But the problem was this. They had their own interpretation of the law to the point where their interpretation of the law was more important than the law of God itself. The Apostle Paul illustrates this, explains this. You don't have to turn here. He explains this in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, where Paul says, for they, that is some Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. In other words, it's not just the scribes and Pharisees, it's people today. We have our own standard of righteousness, don't we? The Pharisees were the ones who were the separated ones. They separated themselves apart from the ordinary activities of life. They separated themselves in order to keep the rules and regulations of the law of God. And that became a problem because the general public didn't know what they're allowed or not allowed to do. Like, what kind of work am I not allowed to do on a Sabbath? You know, the scribes and Pharisees were always, you know, pounding, you know, the law of the Sabbath, what not to do on a Sabbath day. Well, then that raised questions like, am I allowed to lift my child off the ground on the Sabbath? That became a question. Can I lift my child off the ground? That's work. Can I carry a needle with me in case I need to sew a stitch on my robe? That was, by the way, what my grandmother thought. My grandmother Moyer saw sewing a stitch on a Sabbath day as work. And we as kids are thinking, are we even allowed to have fun on Sunday? There wasn't any explanation of that. To the strict Orthodox Jew, to serve God was a matter of keeping thousands and thousands of legalistic rules and regulations. And unfortunately, some of these rules and regulations have been passed down to the church throughout the generations, all in the name of religion. Jesus is a better way for us to live. Jesus says to be a Christian is more than an outward show of piety. Jesus says to be a Christian is what's living inside of you. What's inside of your heart? How do you see people? Paul says it's like this. Love is a fulfillment of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus says. And this, I believe, is one of the biggest things we need to practice as people in the church today. It's called practicing the law of love. Without love, other people will not see the light of Jesus Christ within you and I, within the church, and they won't be drawn to the church at all. So what needs to be done? In your inserts, I have two suggestions of how we can live and practice the law of love out in the church. Number one, expand the group of people that you normally associate with. Expand the group of people that you normally associate with. In other words, if you're part of a clique, get out of your clique for other people. Bill Hybels, I have a book here by Bill Hybels, Becoming a Contagious Christian. And he says, and I quote, "We all tend to make armchair assessments of who God has use for and who he doesn't. And before we know it, we've reduced our mental list of those God really cares about to our own little group of select people who happen to look like us. That list almost never includes the people out there who are not part of the church." This was challenging to me in my own Christian witness. When I lived in Northern Ohio, I was pastor there in Northern Ohio district for 13 years, Lima, Ohio. And this was before I was married. I used to go to the gym, the local gym where I worked out, and that was really what I considered to be my mission field. That's where I believed that I was going to get out and have my witness serve as of who Jesus was to the other guys there. And I always wanted to play on a softball team back then, but the church that I was serving didn't have a softball team. And so I put the need out there that I was looking to play softball on a softball team. Well, lo and behold, one guy in the gym came up to me and says, "Hey, we have a softball team. Would you like to play?" I go, "Sure, that sounds great. I'll come to your first practice. When is it?" And he told me when it was. Now, meanwhile, there was a guy in our church who saw me talk with this guy, and he says, "Marty, I need to talk to you for a minute." I go, "Okay, what do you want to know?" He goes, "Do you realize what Ray's is?" I said, "Yeah, Ray's." I said, that's the local supermarket. That's who I'm going to be playing softball for." He goes, "Nope, Ray's is a bar." He said, "You just agreed to play softball with a group of guys in a bar." I go, "Oh my goodness. What am I going to do?" So on one hand, I'm thinking, I can't really go up to him and say, "I can't play your team because, you know, I'm better than you." On the other hand, at the church, you know, what's going to happen if someone sees me there? So what I did was, I was just open and honest about it. I went to the church board meeting. I told them what I did. They just basically laughed at me and says, "We know you didn't, you know, we'll just let you decide what you want to do. We understand that." So I decided that I'm going to go ahead and play for the team with the goal of letting the light of Christ shine within me to the other guys. I got into some good conversation with the center fielder who grew up in the Catholic Church, and we had some nice conversations. But it was hard for me to get the guys to come to church because those guys on the team had a bad experience in church, and that affects their faith in God. But it's important to always keep these relationships open because you never know where God will be planting a seed of faith that will grow. And that leads to the second point in your inserts. Find a place that is your mission field. Find a place that's your mission field. Now, I'm not talking about missions to Africa. We know that God needs people in Africa, but God needs people here to serve as missionaries. Find a place where you normally go, where you know people are unchurched. It might be your place of work. It might be restaurants where you normally eat. It might be school activities and events. Establish relationships with those who are unchurched with the goal of letting your light shine for Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus did. Why did Jesus say that? Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So the goal of establishing these relationships is what Jesus says. It's to allow people, have people come into the kingdom of heaven. He does say, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The only way you and I can enter into heaven is not by righteousness that is legalistic or hypocritical. Instead, entrance into heaven is by the righteousness of the heart through Jesus Christ, the heart that we have for other people. And that happens through our personal relationships. People need to see Jesus through your example. There is a mission field waiting for you and I out there. Jesus calls this the harvest. The harvest of souls for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 9, the Bible tells us, when Jesus saw the multitudes of people in the cities and villages, the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. We need to have that same compassion for those who are unchurched, for those who are not saved. We need to have compassion first for them. And that's when Jesus turned his disciples, if you look at that in Matthew 9:37, Jesus turned his disciples and he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so Jesus said to pray for the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into the world, into his harvest. This morning I say the same thing about Myerstown, about Lebanon and our neighborhoods around here. The harvest is plentiful here. It's always plentiful. And so this puts a responsibility of your Christian walk on you, on me, as believers in the church. The harvest is plentiful for us. The harvest is plentiful for us in the church to do the witnessing that God commands us to do. And I pray that we can do that together as a church, just as the Lord commands. May it ever be so. At this time, I want to take a moment of silent meditation, and I want you to think about someone that you might know who needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And at this time, I want you just to pray silently for them. Let us have a moment of silence. Lord, we thank you for giving us the light of Jesus Christ as our example. And we pray that we as your people, we pray that we as a church will be obedient to the leading of going out into the harvest field, whether it's to our neighborhood or whether it's to places where we work. We pray that we would have, first of all, the light of Jesus Christ within us. I pray, Lord, Anyone this morning, Lord, who does not have Jesus Christ within their hearts, that they would make that commitment today. And I pray, Lord, for us as a church, that you embolden us, Lord, to be the faithful disciples that you want us to be. Not to give ourselves glory, Lord, but to give glory and honor to you. Help us, Lord, to humbly follow your example and lead others, Lord, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to our closing hymn. It's Take My Hand and Lead Me, Father. And as we sing this song, I ask that you just look within your hearts, and if you need to make a commitment to the Lord, let me ask you to come forward and I'll pray for you. Let's all stand as we sing our closing song.
Thank you.
benediction is taken from Jude, verses 24 through 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.